He helps his devotees. So, what I'm going to teach is, it's not going to be strictly according to this book by any means, really. Some of the pastimes which are described here we'll go through. And we'll also take some other, a little bit of other subject matter. But anyway, you've all got a copy of this book, I think, here of the South African government. You can put it to good use. Today we're going to discuss about Putana. Actually, do we have any spare copies? Or
yes. Can I have one?
Thank you.
Putana. So just by way...
something I forgot. Down on my desk, there on the left-hand side, there are two three-page play scripts. You'll see them. They're both the same, two copies of the same thing, and each one is three pages. So today, we'll discuss a bit about Putana. Part of the class we're going to do right now, I think we'll try and do it in this session, otherwise we'll do it in the following session in an hour or so. We'll enact a small drama. It's about a 5 or 10 minute drama. Doesn't really involve so much acting as such, but what it does involve is two people, two ladies actually, reading out these parts in this drama. That it's to do with Putana. It's very interesting, and it's extremely nice. It's actually directly, we've extracted it directly from Lalita Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's his words directly. Very nice. But what we need two ladies to please volunteer to take these two parts. Ladies, hopefully, preferably you have had some experience in acting, not that you'll really have to act as I said, but who, you know, who are able to speak nicely and who are a little familiar with how to express themselves in a dramatic type of format. So, do we have any Matajis here who have had some experience in drama? Do you know of any? Can you suggest that? Hmm? You're indicating. Good. Auntie? Auntie? You've done a little drama? Okay. We need someone to be Purnamasi and someone to be Gargi. Gargi is the daughter, I think, of Sandipani Muni, if I'm not mistaken. You could be, or who else could volunteer? How about Mother Nalini? In here, a quote from Srila Prabhupada about discussions about the pastimes of Lord Krishna, just to get us a little bit into the mood. Srila Prabhupada says in one Srimad Bhagavatam purport that these narrations, pastimes of Krishna, these narrations are wonderfully enjoyable, and those who are fortunate are struck with wonder. upon hearing of these extraordinary activities of the Lord. Although the less intelligent regard them as mythological, because a dull brain cannot understand them, still they are real facts. These narrations are actually so enjoyable and enlightening that Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami took pleasure in them, and other liberated persons, following in their footsteps, become fully jubilant by hearing about the wonderful activities of the Lord. So that's just a little introduction to set the mood. So we're going to discuss now about Putana. There'll be certain things that I'll want you to note down. You can note down whatever you like, but there's certain things that I'll ask you to note down, because we'll want you to know certain things for our test. We'll have a very easy test. I don't want to make it too easy, because I know you're all very intelligent. It'll be a very easy test, but still you'll have to apply yourselves a little bit. But I'll tell you what things we want you to remember, and then you'll be able to concentrate on those things when you revise. So, I'll just begin by saying that Srila Jiva Goswami, in one of his books, he says, he's glorifying Krishna, of course, and he says that, the glories of Krishna can particularly be seen in five verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is actually one of the things we're going to want you to learn about. What are those verses? Let me just find my notes here. Five verses. So those verses are, should make a note of these. Third canto, chapter 2, verse 23. It's the first one. 3, 2, 23. Actually, what we, for your own benefit, it's worthwhile noting what these are. What we're going to ask you for in the test is, what is the basic message of each verse? Not that you have to learn it off by heart, but the basic message, which I'll tell you in a minute. But the verse numbers are 3, 2, 23 is the first one. Second is 10, 14, 38. Third is 10, 12, 11. Fourth is 10, 9, 20. And fifth is 10, 47, 60. 60. 60. 60. So these five verses, Srila Jiva Goswami says that the glory of Lord Krishna is particularly seen in these verses. So the first verse, 3223, this is related to Putana, who we're going to discuss now. The Sanskrit is Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam Jigram Shaya Payayad Apyasadvi Lebhe Gatim Datriuchitam Taton Yam Kamva Dayalum Sharanam Vrajema, which means, alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he, who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful, and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. So now, just make a note of what is the basic message of this verse. As Uddhava is speaking, and Uddhava is saying, Lord Krishna, in fact, has just left the planet, just a matter of days before. So he's feeling very, very distressed in transcendental separation. So he's wondering, oh, alas, who am I going to find now who I can take shelter of? Who can be merciful to me like him, like Krishna? And what is the evidence of his mercifulness? That he gave the position of mother, or specifically he gave a position like a mother to Putana. Anyone not clear on that? Uddhava is saying that in the absence of Lord Krishna, how is he going to find someone who he can take shelter of, who will be merciful to him like Krishna? And how merciful is Krishna? He gave a position like mother to Putana. Now, the other verses I think we'll go through with you in our next session. But let us just focus on Putana. So let us now look in our books. Putana we find on page 9. Let us look at the top of the page. Just for, as a matter of information, this course that I taught in Vrindavan about Krishna killing these demons, the context is that each demon represents a particular anatha. It's stated very clearly with each one what anatha is represented by which demon, so you can go through it all if you want in your own time and make a little study of it. But here you'll see that Putana represents the pseudo-guru. I think everyone is familiar with the concept of the pseudo-guru. There have been and there are to this day many. We all know of one with fuzzy hair, very popular these days. We won't mention any names. But there are pseudo-gurus, there are many, there are too many. So, next point which is made here is that it can be a person who's like a so-called guru who's teaching this or teaching that in the name of spiritual life, or you'll see here we mention it can also be the mind. The mind can also be a pseudo-guru. Guru basically means a person whose instructions we accept and follow because we feel that they'll help us in our lives. So the mind is a very popular guru. People are generally referring to the mind. What do you think I should do? And the mind is giving so many ideas that do this or do that for what? Sense gratification. So the mind is acting like a guru, giving different ideas and different directions. But what is the result of all that? That one becomes deeply entangled in material existence. So they're two manifestations of the, you could say, the Putana principle, the pseudo-guru principle. Now, we mention here, just down a few lines, that in one Purana, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it explains that in her previous lifetime, Putana was Ratnamala, who was the younger sister of Bali Maharaj, Although there's another Vedic scripture called Garga Samhita, which says that she was his daughter. Anyway, she was a family member of Bali Maharaj. Anyone here not know who Bali Maharaj was? You don't know who Bali Maharaj was? Bali Maharaj was the king of the demons. He's grandson of Prahlad, king of the demons, and he took the universe over from Indra. He defeated Indra. It's a long story, we won't go through the whole story, but he defeated Indra, kicked him out of the heavenly planets, and took over, basically took over the universe, other than Brahmaloka, other than the abodes of Brahma and Shiva, he took over the whole universe. So, his sister or daughter, it can be either, because we understand that in Vedic literatures, sometimes different descriptions are given in different Vedic literatures of what is apparently or what is actually the same event. And we may think that, oh, there's a mistake. In one of the two, there's some mistake. But we understand that in the Vedas, there are not really mistakes. But so many of these important pastimes that take place, which are referred to in Shastra, they happen not just one time, but they may happen many times. But in those many times that they happen, there may be slightly different contexts each time. So certain details may vary a little. So which to accept? Should we just accept the particular account appeals to us the most? What should we accept as being like the main, you know, like the main understanding? Any suggestions? We accept as the main, like our main source of reference, Srimad Bhagavatam. That where the version, where Srimad Bhagavatam records an event, and another scripture records an event, but there may be differences, then we accept not necessarily as correct, I mean like more correct, but just more representative and more important, the description of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like, how many of you have read Mahabharat? The complete Mahabharat? No? In Mahabharat it's described that when Maharaj Parikshit, right at the end, at least as it's described in the Bhagavatam, right at the end of the narration of Shukadeva, then the snake bird came to bite Maharaj Parikshit. So according to Mahabharat, Maharaj Parikshit ran and the snake bird chased him and eventually caught him and bit him and then he died. But Srimad Bhagavatam describes that Maharaj Parikshit just sat there and the snake bird came, Takshaka, came and just bit him. He didn't move. And because the poison was so powerful, Maharaj Parikshit's body immediately burst into flame because of the potency of that poison. So we don't say that Mahabharat is giving an incorrect description, but actually the description given in Mahabharat is not of the pastime which occurred 5,000 years ago. It's a description of that pastime which happened at a previous time. But the description given in Srimad Bhagavatam is the description of what happened 5,000 years ago. Jiva Goswami refers to it as the principle of different kalpa, the same thing happening in different kalpas. So anyway, daughter in this case here, Putana being Ratnamala, the younger sister or the daughter, we would say this is an example of this principle of different kalpa. So whichever one, let's just say for argument's sake now, the younger sister. Probably many of you have heard this description before. When Lord Vamana came and he he took away the kingdom of Bali Maharaj. He took the whole universe from Bali Maharaj. So Lord Vamana came in the form of a young brahmachari boy, 5-year-old, like a very innocent, very sweet, beautiful looking little boy, very pure little Brahmin boy. So when Bali Maharaj's younger sister saw Vamanadev, she thought, oh, this little boy is so beautiful. It's a natural sort of maternal instinct for any lady. So she felt like that. She was quite captivated. She thought, this boy is so beautiful. I want to have him as my son. So then the pastime unfolded. There was a discussion between Vamana and Bali Maharaj. Vamana asked for 3 steps of land. Bali Maharaj said, okay. And then Lord Vamana, what to speak of 3 steps of land with 2 steps of land? He took the whole universe. And then he turned around to Bali Maharaj and said, wait a minute, you promised me 3 steps, but you only gave me 2. Because there was nothing left for Bali Maharaj. So Lord Vamana told him that you've broken your promise, so I'm going to punish you. I'm going to send you to hell. So when Bali Maharaj's sister heard this, that my brother has given everything, but still this person is so nasty that he wants to send him to hell. She thought that, so maybe I'll have this little boy as my son, but then I'll kill him. So then in her next life she was born as Putana, and she got the opportunity. Putana is in an interesting family. Anyone know the names of any of her relatives as Putana? In the lifetime as Putana? No? Well, one of her brothers is Agasura. And another is Bakasura. So quite a family. Quite a family. Now this pastime of the killing of Putana, this took place, different times are given after Krishna's appearance. In one place it's said when Krishna was 3 days old. In another place it's said when, or Prabhupada says in fact, in one purport, when Krishna was 3 months old. So one way or another, Krishna was very, very young, extremely young. He was just an infant, completely helpless. Srila Prabhupada makes the comment that sometimes people say that if you meditate for some time, if you perform austerities, you can become God. I remember before I became involved in this movement, back I think it must have been in 1972 probably, or perhaps even 71, probably 72, I took up transcendental meditation. What's his name? Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. So I went for my so-called initiation and I was given a mantra, secret mantra. Unfortunately, I found out when I joined ISKCON and I met there were quite a few devotees who'd also been through TM. We discussed, what mantra were you given? We found we were all given the same mantra. Actually, that mantra was Aim. Aim, which is, it's like Om, it's like Kleem. These are called, these three, and there are others also, they're called Bij mantras. In a sense, they're not exactly mantras. Bij means seed. They're seed sound vibrations, which when you chant them, they allow your mind to enter into the actual mantra, which then follows after that seed sound. Some of you, I assume, have second initiation, so you would know that. How many of you have second initiation? 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, you would know that in the Gayatri mantras which you chant, there's Om, Aim, and Kleem. So these are seed bij mantras. Anyway, so this man, he gave me my secret mantra. It's not really a mantra, it's just a seed which then allows you to chant mantra, but there was no mantra, no real mantra that we were given. Therefore, it didn't have any effect. So he told me that, yes, you chant this and it'll be very nice. After 3 months, you'll experience something, I forget exactly what, but some sort of nice state. Then he said, he was giggling all the time as he was explaining this. Then he said, and it's so nice, after 6 months, you'll realize that you're God. And then he really went into a fit of giggling. And even though I didn't know anything about anything, I wondered to myself, why is he giggling like this? Is he giggling because he knows that he's fooling me, or is he in a state of bliss, or what? But even though I knew nothing, I clearly remember thinking that, gosh, me, God? How could I be God? I need help. So anyway, such is life in the material world. This is called the Putana principle, pseudo guru. So anyway, I was saying that some people say that if you meditate long enough and perform austerities and undergo some rigorous discipline, then you supposedly can become God, because you are God actually. But unfortunately you've forgotten for the time being. But you do like this and you'll realize your godhood sooner or later. Anyway, Prabhupada makes the point that Krishna, when Putana came, Krishna killed her in such a way that only God could have done like that. And Prabhupada says that Krishna was only perhaps 3 months old, or maybe only 3 days old. So Krishna hadn't had time to meditate and become God. He hadn't had time to do austerities and become God yet. So Prabhupada says this is proof that Krishna was already God. Krishna's always God. So Putana came and tried to kill Krishna on the instigation of Kamsa. Kamsa had been told by Narada, probably you know the pastime of Krishna's appearance, that the child of Vasudeva and Devaki, baby Krishna, Mathura Krishna, was exchanged with Yashoda's girl child. According to our acharyas, Yashoda didn't just give birth to that one girl, but Yashoda gave birth to twins. That one girl, who's Yogamaya, or Durga more specifically, and Krishna. This is why Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam he constantly refers to Mother Yashoda as his mother, because she is. So when Vasudeva came and exchanged his male child Krishna with this female child, he didn't notice the other child who was there with Yashoda, who was Vrindavan Krishna. So that he put his Krishna next to Vrindavan Krishna, and then he went taking the girl child, and then that Mathura Krishna entered into the body of Vrindavan Krishna and stayed within, because we know that all forms of God, they're all present within the form of Krishna. All the avatars, Mahavishnu, super soul, they're all in the form of Krishna. So that Mathura Krishna stayed within the body of Vrindavan Krishna until the time Vrindavan Krishna was taken by Akrura to go to Mathura. But actually we were explaining this morning that when they got to the boundary of Vrindavan, then Krishna said, wait, I want to take a bath. So he went to take a bath, and then Mathura Krishna came back out of Vrindavan Krishna and took his bath, and then got back on Akrura's chariot and carried on to